This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Bloody standoff in Venezuela for nearly 3 months now. The opposition to President Nicolas Maduro has been growing. Demonstrations have become larger with a broader sector of the population participating. 60 people have died, including 18-year-old Armando Canizales, a talented violist who was a standout student from a state-run music program for the poor. Armando's success represented the promises made to the poor and the vision of a socialist cultural paradise imagined by the late President Hugo Chavez. But Armando's death in the streets represents just how much those promises have all been dashed by the reality of oil running out, the corruption of the Maduro government, and the general chaos in Venezuela. Prominent jailed opposition leader Leopoldo López has called for the anti-government protests to continue until demands to release political prisoners and to hold new presidential elections are met. On Monday, the Venezuelan court rejected efforts to stop the president from rewriting the constitution. Hannah Dreyer, former Venezuela correspondent for the Associated Press, is joining us now with the latest from Caracas. Hannah, good to have you back.
Good to be with you, John.
So, again, this is in slow-mo, a country coming apart, but is it speeding up here? What's changed?
Yes, it doesn't feel quite so slow motion these days. The main thing that struck me is that the capital city is shut down every day lately. There are protests that are ending in bloody clashes with the police, and this is happening every other day, every day. So kids aren't going to school. They're going out and protesting. People aren't going to work. They're either staying in their homes or they're also going out to these protests. And the entirety of the government seems to be focused on just trying to calm the unrest.
The chaos in a place like Libya is sustained by a certain amount of oil that could be sold. Venezuela, in theory, has the same kind of opportunity, but even that isn't keeping things afloat here. What's making the country run at all?
People here are always asking me, how long can this go on? How is it possible that it's gone on for so long? And I also wonder that. I mean, everywhere you go right now, you're crossing smoldering barricades of trash. The whole city kind of looks like there's almost a war going on. And it's been like this for so long. And I think a lot of it does come down to the oil. That's what's funding the government. Without huge oil reserves, Venezuela has the biggest reserves in the world. There's no way this situation would have lasted. We've been in really a crisis for at least 2 years now.
What do you think of the confrontation between Leopoldo López and Maduro here? New elections, release political prisoners, these demands, etc.
So Leopoldo López has been in jail since 2014 when he led a similar violent protest movement. And he's always been kind of the candidate of the street down here. He's the guy who advocates for big street protests and for just throwing Maduro out of power immediately. So this is a really powerful moment for him. And not only is he calling for new elections, he's calling on the military to openly revolt. He's been smuggling out these videos where he calls on the top brass all the way down to rank and file soldiers to rise up against the government. And that's pretty dramatic.
And not only is it dramatic, it's also the model in Latin America and particularly in South America for all the governments there, with the exception probably of Chile. The military sort of holds the cards. If they go with the protesters, then it's over. Where does the military stand on this?
I mean, that is the key question right now. The military has played a huge role all over Latin America and especially in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez himself came to fame when he tried to stage a coup when he was part of the military. There are signs that the military is wavering. We've seen documents that show that several officers have been arrested for trying to incite rebellion. And I recently talked to a rank-and-file soldier. He's not ready yet to rise up against the government, but he does say that he's very scared when he goes out to these protests. Because, I mean, it's dangerous for the guys on the front lines on both sides. The military is also sometimes taking fire and sometimes getting injured.
Now, I announced that you're former Venezuela correspondent for the Associated Press. you will soon be saying goodbye to Venezuela. Is that the case?
That's right. I'm wrapping up my stint here, and I'm going back to the U.S. later this month.
So in the time that you've been down there, let's do a tale of two sources. Who is someone you've spoken to who you know is a survivor from this?
There are some people who I've been friends with since I've gotten here who are my age, who are young professionals. Most of them have left. Almost all of my friends here have left as brain drain, you know, grows. I do have one friend who opens fancy restaurants, and she's actually been doing great because there's still a class of people here who are getting rich off of the revolution, basically. So they still want to go out and buy, you know, duck salad, have fancy meals at a nice place. And my friend has been kind of cleaning up, doing that kind of work.
Wow.
Although she feels very ambivalent about it now with the protests especially.
And who is most in harm's way as you leave?
Well, yesterday I told the woman who does maintenance in my building that I'm leaving, and she immediately started crying. And she said, things aren't going to get better. Everybody's leaving, and this is going to last for years and years. Like a lot of older people here, most of her family has left. So her daughters are gone. Her grandchildren are gone. And she is living right now in a neighborhood that's just racked with violence. And there are daily protests that keep her shut in there. She's afraid to leave the house to go get food. She often doesn't come to work because she can't kind of traverse the city with the protests going on. Or she has to wait for her government bag of food that comes kind of sporadically. I worry a lot for the older people who are still here, who aren't trying to leave, but are just kind of in an abandoned city.
Do you feel you're abandoning them?
It's a heavy thing to leave, especially because there are so few correspondents here now. I think I was actually the last U.S. correspondent to get a permanent accreditation to report here. The government isn't really allowing in new journalists. So that, more than anything, is weighing heavily on me. I don't know who's going to replace me.
A portrait of a country in chaos from Hannah Dreyer once again, former Venezuela correspondent for the Associated Press in Caracas. Thanks so much, Hannah.
Thank you, John.